A scripture lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. That's found on page 1526 in the Pew Bibles. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord grant his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
I'll have the children join me this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It looks like we have some on vacation this week. We're a little light today. Did all of you go on vacation this summer? No? You did? You guys did? Anything fun? Anything exciting? You went to Knoebels. I went to Knoebels last weekend, I think it was. That was pretty fun. We went swimming. I have a pool and I barely went swimming this year. You went swimming too? Well, do any of you have a dog? I know that's a weird segue, but you have three dogs? You used to have a dog? Okay. You have two dogs? Zach? You have two dogs, Ryan? You have one dog? Do you girls have a dog? Do you have a dog at home?
Well, we have a dog, but her name is Snow,
but she's not actually a dog. Okay. Okay, well, what do you feed your dog? Or what do you feed the dog that your dog sit?
Milk bones and dog food.
Milk bones and dog food. That sounds about right. Leftovers. All right. Well, there's all sorts of things that we can feed the dog. They make dog food, they make canned dog food, they make dry dog food, they make the milk bone treats. My dog likes those. Ryan says he feeds them leftovers and table scraps. And, you know, most veterinarians say that you shouldn't feed your dog table scraps. They say that table scraps aren't intended for dogs and don't provide them with the nutrition that they need. And that may be true, but just try to convince your dog as they sit watching you at the table. My dogs drool all over.
What?
Yeah, they do. It makes a big mess. And so they're sitting there, they're begging for their scraps and hoping that just even a small bit will fall off the plate. And so let's keep that picture in our mind because that's the picture that Jesus used in our story today. When Jesus came to earth, he came to preach and teach first the Jewish people. Those were the people that he was born among and that those were considered God's children back when Jesus was alive. And when other people saw Jesus healing and teaching and going out to people, they followed him wherever he went. And one day there was a woman who was from Canaan, and she came to Jesus and asked her daughter to be healed by Jesus. And he explained to the woman that his mission was first to the Jewish people, and then it would be for the rest of the people. But the woman refused to give up, and she came closer, knelt down right in front of Jesus, and begged, "Please help me, Lord." And Jesus replied, "It isn't right to take food away from children and feed it to the dogs." And the woman answered and said, "Lord, that's true, but even dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the owner's table. And Jesus was so moved by her statement of faith that he told her that her daughter would be healed. And even though Jesus came first to the Jews, he loved us so much and that he was willing to share his love for each and every one of us, even though most of us, I'm sure, aren't Jewish descendants like Jesus was. And even though the meal was not prepared especially for us, because of his love and his grace and mercy, we are able to share in that meal as well, just like the Canaanite woman was in our scripture lesson today. So let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you so much that you came to preach and teach to all people, and that your love is great enough to heal this Canaanite woman's daughter, and it is great enough to heal and bless us as well. We pray that we always look to you with that same faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Ellie's going to hand out the candy this morning. One night, as a man was going to bed, his wife told him that he'd left the light on in the garden shed. She could see it from the bedroom window. But he said that he hadn't been in the shed all that day. And so he looked out himself, and there were people in the shed, stealing things. And so, of course, he called the police, but they told him that no one was in the area, so no one was able to come by and catch the thieves. He said, okay, hung up, counted to about 30, and rang the police again. Hello, I just rang a few seconds ago because there were people in my shed stealing things. Well, you don't have to worry about them. I've shot them all. Within 5 minutes, there were half a dozen police cars in the area and an armed response unit. They caught the burglars red-handed, and one of the policemen said to this man, I thought you said that you'd shot them. And he quickly replied, I thought you said there was no one available. Isn't that what it can be like trying to get others to help us or hear us out or do whatever it is we ask? If they don't want to help, they will just come up with any old excuse. But if they truly feel the need to come by, just like the cops did after they assumed they would find a few dead bodies, there would be no hesitation, and they will come flying in. Our scripture lesson this morning shows a little less humorous of a situation. Backing up slightly to the passage just before what we read this morning, Jesus had just finished talking about the necessity for our hearts to be in the right place. For if our heart is filled with uncleanliness, then we are unclean, as opposed to the Jewish idea that what we eat is what makes us unclean. When we have our hearts focused on God and filled with His words and His ways, that is when we are truly clean. And of course, we know we can never fully clean our hearts, but that's why we have Christ's death on the cross. And that section of Matthew could be another message in itself, but it's certainly important for us to know as we look ahead to today's scripture lesson. Now, after Jesus had finished this discussion with a crowd of Jews and the Pharisees mixed in, Jesus and his disciples headed toward Tyre and Sidon. They have left what is Jewish territory, where Jesus had done most of his ministry to this point, and made their way to where the Gentiles lived. And in that area, a woman came to Jesus. And this woman, Matthew tells us, was a Canaanite. To Matthew's Jewish readers, the Canaanite is the descendant of the oldest and the most despised enemy of Israel's history. It was the Canaanites who Joshua and the Israelites had to fight against as they entered the promised land after the Exodus. These people had tried to stop Israel from coming in and living in the land that God had promised to them. And once they were there, they would continue to fight with each other, and the worship of the Canaanites would help to separate Israel from their true God as they turned to idolatry. Now, what the Canaanite woman does is not uncommon for this time. When someone was considered a healer or a miracle worker, as Jesus obviously was already, people would come out to them just to seek their healing. In this case, for the daughter's demon-possessed or for the woman's demon-possessed daughter. They had no intent of joining them as disciples or even subscribing to their religious views. They just wanted the blessing and the miracles that this person had to offer. What the woman says, however, shows something different about her understanding of Jesus. She calls him Lord, Son of David. She doesn't view Jesus as just another magician out healing people. She addresses him as the king of the people that conquered her people. And that's so important for her to recognize as she begs for healing. Jesus first simply ignores the woman, yet she persists to the point where the disciples just want her to leave. And Jesus' first words for her, a few verses later, really look different than the compassionate and caring Jesus we have seen through most of Matthew. He says his task on earth is to come to find the lost sheep of Israel. And it sounds like he is saying, I have too much to do just to deal with the chosen people of God to take the time to help out anybody else, especially their oldest enemy. And even after she continues pleading with him, falling on her knees, he continues with this attitude and says, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dog. Whoa, that's definitely not the Jesus that we're used to hearing. And if you think that sounds insulting to the woman, it definitely did for them in that day as well. He could have said he cannot give up on the chosen nation of Israel and start focusing on the Gentiles. But by making such a statement, he is really looking to test the woman's persistence and her faith in him by telling her that she is a dog compared to these children of God. But this woman gets it because she understands the identity and the work that this son of David was sent to do. He is the Messiah, which comes from David's line and continues the kingship of Israel. Now, in the translation we read this morning, they have what really is the correct and best interpretation. And the one that I was reading through, which is also an NIV, and I was surprised to see that they were different, mine says, but even. And that's what most people would read. She starts her argument against Jesus as if it's a counter-argument against what he says. But in our version, which reads, for even, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That statement sounds completely different. And it's a statement of this woman's wisdom and the faith that she has. Because when we read the two different passages side by side, for even instead of but even, now she agrees with Jesus. And really, she agrees with much of Jewish messianic theology. You see, she understood the position that she had as a Canaanite dealing with a Jewish king. She didn't have to be Jesus's priority for the rest of his life. He could continue his mission just as God sent him to do, to reach the lost children of Israel. Yet somehow she knows there is messianic blessing, which then goes out to the Gentile world, even the most ancient enemies of Israel. And as she understands some of this, she also understands that the Jesus she is kneeling before now is powerful enough to provide a little mercy while he is up traveling in this region. She does not want to take Jesus from his mission. Those are God's chosen people, and she knows that. All she wants is to taste the crumbs and have her daughter healed. And this woman's faith allows her to claim him as the Messiah before even the disciples who had been following him around all this time were able to do. And the Jesus that wasn't big enough for the disciples to have enough food to feed the 5,000 people or to keep Peter safe as he walked on the water, as we looked at in passages the past couple weeks, that Jesus is enough for this woman. Even as she knows she is not his ultimate focus, and her persistent faith gets her request granted, and her daughter is healed right away. Now, I pointed out before jumping into this passage about the cleanliness laws for food, they were part of the separating line between the Jews and the Gentiles, even among those Gentiles who worshiped the God of Israel or became Christians after Jesus had sent out his disciples. The welcoming of Gentiles was not an immediate move the early Christians were willing to make. It took some time and persuading by God to get Peter to enter a Gentile's house in the book of Acts. And these two teachings that we've looked at this morning go side by side as part of this separationalist idea. Just like certain foods, Gentiles were considered among the unclean. And your interactions with them needed to be calculated a bit so the Jews would not become unclean as well. But Jesus takes that idea and flips it upside down. This Canaanite woman, who is considered a dog in Jesus' short comparison, is still able to receive some of the blessing that Jesus has to offer. And this passage looks forward to even more blessing as his mission is taken to the ends of the earth. Jesus' proclamation that the uncleanliness comes from the heart brings with it a long list of questions, and the Gentiles and their cleanliness is one of the most important. These Gentiles can also receive the blessings of God because of their faith alone. The most basic and awe-inspiring fact of Christianity when compared with any other religion or any other worldview is each and every single person around the world now has the opportunity and privilege to receive the bread which God provides for his children. And that opportunity is based entirely on faith, just as we saw with this Canaanite woman. The Pharisees were preaching a moralism, which can so easily become a part of our Christian life as well. Listen to these words by a great preacher, George Whitfield. When a soul is somewhat awakened, when the poor creature, being born under a covenant of works, flies directly back to a covenant of works again. There must be a deep conviction before you can be brought out of your self-righteousness. It is the last idol taken out of the heart. If you are not brought out of self-righteousness, you may speak peace to yourselves, but there is no peace. You must lay hold by faith of the all-sufficient righteousness of Jesus. Then you shall have peace. So after the Pharisees talk of the moralistic rules which neglect the heart, the Canaanite woman looks to Jesus with faith alone. And that is the same faith that we need. Faith in the knowledge of who this Christ is, the Holy Son of God, the Son of David. Faith in the death of Christ for the sins of all people, not just Israel, but even the Gentiles across the globe. Faith in his resurrection, as he is the first of many who will conquer death altogether. The Canaanite woman was willing to settle for the crumbs, but Christ has provided so much more for her through his death and resurrection. His ministry was indeed to go to the lost sheep of Israel. They were not going to be found by following their cleanliness laws to a T, while they had their hearts filled with pride, hatred, and greed. Their hearts needed to be in tune with God and his will for the world, and have the faith to turn all their energy toward pursuing him and his mercy, just as this Canaanite woman did. Yet so many of the lost children of Israel would not give wholeheartedly to Christ. And then to see Jesus interact with and give blessing and mercy to someone from a people group who were considered such great enemies of Israel must have been shocking to them. And as Jesus' ministry worked itself out to its full potential, then all people are able to be a part of the spiritual Israel. Paul explains this in Romans 4. He says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only those of the law, those who are the Jews, but also those who have the faith of Abraham. All Gentiles have been called to be children of Abraham because of the faith which they have in Christ's work. Just as Abraham had faith in God back in Genesis to fulfill the promises of children and blessings through them. The privilege we have, the opportunity to sit at the table and eat the bread alongside all the other children of God. But with every privilege we have, God expects something of us. And what he expects is the faith, just as this Canaanite woman had. And so how is it that we can live out the faith of this Canaanite woman? What we see most obviously from her is the persistence she has in pursuing Christ for his mercy. Who knows whether she has sought help from others before? We know nothing of this woman's life before or after this passage. And maybe she learned from her past mistakes that just asking once may not get her the attention she needed. So when Jesus comes around, she decides she is not leaving until she has tried everything she possibly can to receive his mercy. And we need to have that same persistence to go before God. We need to have that persistence not only when we have a need. God wants us to go before him at all times. And because of Christ, we have an avenue of constant communication with God. The disciples got tired of listening to the woman, but I can assure you that Jesus did not. And he won't become tired of listening to us, no matter what it is that we have to talk to him about, whatever it is that we pray for and ask him for. He wants so much to hear from us. You see, God is a communal and relational being. And as his image bearers, he has made us communal and relational beings as well, both to connect with others here on this earth, and especially to connect with him. What's one of the easiest ways and most effective methods to disconnect yourself from someone? Give them the cold shoulder. Keep yourself from associating with them verbally and physically if possible. And how often is that how we treat our relationship with God? But God wants us to be persistent in our pursuit of him and his presence. For the Canaanite woman, that showed Jesus the faith that she had in who he was. And it acts the same way for us. Whether in good times or bad, we must faithfully continue to pursue God and his mercy and grace. This woman also teaches us to understand the privilege that we have. She was content to receive the crumbs. She wanted some healing, but she understood the privilege it was to be among the Israelites, and she didn't have that privilege. But once Jesus' work was complete, all people are able to have that same privilege, even this Canaanite. The Canaanite took advantage of her privilege just to receive the crumbs. And I can only imagine that if she was still alive to hear the gospel of Christ, she would have been quick to receive the privilege of sitting at the table as well. That's what God has called all of us to. Do we recognize that privilege in our life? Do we live our life knowing that we have been invited to the table with all the other children of God to receive the mercy and grace which God is able to provide enough for all people? If we do, we should keep coming back for more every minute of every day. If this woman had enough faith to persistently seek after just the crumbs, how can we go on without seeking out the bread that God has provided, especially since we know it is already promised to each and every one of us? And finally, if we understand the privilege that we have, we also then can understand the privilege of every other person. When the disciples wanted the woman to leave, I don't think they really cared whether the woman got what she came for or not. When they heard Christ's response, though, I wonder what it is they thought. As Israelites, did they hear Jesus and expect him to heal the daughter of Israel's enemy? Probably not. But what they learned from this is that Jesus is able to bless and have mercy upon every person, even those who had stood against Israel for centuries. And they continue to learn that these people are going to be welcomed at the table as well. So if we have received God's grace and mercy already, we should know that those around us who have not are still invited to the table. Maybe they are still living as dogs right now, just waiting for some of that blessing to roll onto the floor. Maybe they don't realize that there is a feast happening, or know that they are children of God and asked to join in that banquet. We cannot look down on them as dogs. It doesn't matter who they are or what they have done. Their sinful life is no worse than yours or mine. The only difference is they have not put their faith in Christ as we have. They don't fully understand the work He has done to save them from their sins. It may even be the greatest of enemies that we have. We still are called to help them find that faith, to teach them to persistently seek the mercy and grace of God. They have the invitation to the table just like we all do. All the children of Abraham are expected at the table, and the number of his children is continually growing because of the faith that we have and that we share with all people. Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we thank you that your mission on this world was to come and make us all children of Abraham. We pray that by faith, we always seek you, seek your mercy, and seek your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.